And so we will now conclude the hearing and go back to the council. And so I'm gonna turn this over to Councilmember Pierce.
Okay, I want to first state how much I appreciate those of you that are here today engaged in this process. I know that it's been probably the most debated project that's happened in my district since I've been in office, and it is also the smallest of the projects. And so it's been a really hard time for me because it is a project that's in my neighborhood on the other side of Alamitos, on the east side of the district, that feels very different from being inside the downtown plan. And so this is not a project or a vote that is an easy process for me, and I think you guys have seen me publicly kind of grapple with a couple of things. So I want to give a little bit of context for some folks and just set how my mind has been going and then ask a couple of questions of staff. I think that when I went through all of the letters, the emails I've received in support and opposed, I had to really figure out what's the majority. And I do want to say I want to thank the community members and Jan for joining at the District 1 meeting, which while I would have loved to have invited you, I didn't. You just happened to be there. We were at that meeting, and we had a meeting last Wednesday and a couple of one-on-ones as well. And so we've gone through, in my mind, trying to find out how we make this project fit within the downtown plan and how we mitigate the impacts for residents. So within the downtown plan, I think the argument that I've heard from staff is contradictory, but with some of the views from some community members, but it is, the rules were set. And when we look at the things in the areas where we have some arguments around if it conflicts with the downtown plan, one of the questions I have is around the height of the building. And that is one thing that I consistently have said is probably our biggest challenge. So I do want to ask Development Services if you could talk a little bit about the downtown plan and the areas that we went over previous today around straddling different height densities.
Yes, Councilwoman Pierce, I'm happy to answer that question for you. The building that's before you tonight is at a height of 74.5 feet in height at seven stories, and the downtown plan, the sub area where this building is located, allows a height of up to 80 feet. So the context for that is that the building is located on the east side of Alamitos, and if you look at the boundaries of the specific plan does not divide or bifurcate the downtown plan by using the street as the easterly border. It captures both sides of the street so that there's some context to the development. And you will note that the boundary of the specific plan goes several lots, almost to a full block east of Alamitos. So everything within that sub area would be allowed or would be permitted to go up to a maximum height of 80 feet. And that's the context for the height. Did you want me to get into the scale a little more?
If you could get into the scale around some of the other buildings that are there, the appellants presented some photos. I know to the east of that project is some condos that it kind of steps to. So
that's correct. Directly east of the project, we spent a lot of time looking at the context between the proposed building as well as the, especially as it relates to the building just to the east. And as the developer indicated in their presentation, but staff tried to cover as well, that was of a particular concern to us. And the design of the building is very context oriented, meaning that most of the height of the building or the highest components of the building, the seven stories, are all oriented to the west of the site along Alamitos. The designer specifically did attempt to step the building back at the side of the property on the east side adjacent to those the four story units. So at that side the project is four stories on top of the podium, again in an attempt to minimize the impact of the height of the building on that adjacent property. As well, if you look at the top, the other feature of the project to address that, the issues of privacy was also that you'll notice on that easterly property line, there's a row of trees, again, to provide some screening and some privacy between the project and the adjacent four-story building. So the species of that tree are fairly high, so they will grow fairly tall and would provide, again, some privacy on the site.
Great. Thank you, Linda, for that. I know there's a couple more questions that Councilmember Gonzalez is going to ask. Before we get to those questions, I also want to give some context, because what I went through District 2 residents' concerns, every single one of them had to do with parking. And so I absolutely feel that pain. I lived on Walnut with no parking. I understand the impacts of that. I want to give a little bit of context, so I'm going to ask Public Works to come up and give a little bit of overview. We cannot, in my mind, while the downtown plan said it's 1.25, and actually, Linda, while you're still there, the downtown plan said 1.25. I did tell TAPS that I would get back to them in understanding where that 1.25 came from, what was there previously. And so, Linda, if you could share a little bit of that for us.
Sure, happy to do that. In terms of the parking standard, the current standard is one space for each unit. In addition, the guest parking is 0.25, or one space for every four units. So that generally comes out to 1.25 spaces per unit. That is a slight increase from the standard that was in place just prior to that. The prior standard was a 1.5, so it got reduced by one half of a space for a unit in the downtown plan. I would just like to note that historically, over the years, the parking requirements for the downtown have varied fairly significantly. They were, back in the 60s, they were as low as a 0.5 for the downtown area. They increased to 1.25. They went up to 1.5. And so they've slowly increased over the years until the downtown plan, where we have a slight decrease. So it's been a lot of fluctuation in the parking standards downtown, but with the introduction of the blue line, that was an appropriate basis with having very high quality transit in the downtown. That was another basis for the city to justify reducing the parking standard for the downtown plan.
So it's my understanding, when we look at cities like Long Beach that have reduced parking requirements for their downtown, it's because we have other modes of transportation, and in fact it's because we want to have a walkable, safe city.
That's exactly right.
Okay. And I know that that is a tough value statement for some folks that live in the parking impacted area, because it's really challenging to drive around for 40 minutes looking for parking. So I just want to recognize that. I'm going to ask Public Works to go ahead, if you could answer these few questions for me. Give an overview of Alamitos and where the parking is. I know we've added back the parking on Alamitos in front of the project, so if you could talk about that, and if you could talk about where we are at with the parking study from the lawsuit from TAPS, I'd appreciate that.
Great. Thank you, Councilmember Pierce. So as part of the Alamitos corridor, we've recently studied that corridor for a road diet. As part of that road diet between Ocean and 7th Street, which was approved by Council last week, we would add 23 parking stalls in the AM peak period by removing the peak hour parking restrictions. We would also lose five additional stalls all day. So that's the summary on Alamitos Avenue itself. Other parking in the vicinity of the corridor, we are looking at adding over 100 new parking stalls on 1st and 2nd Streets between Alamitos and Cherry. This would be accomplished by converting the angle parking to something closer to 90-degree parking. And this would be accomplished as part of a paving project to take place next year. The parking study you mentioned is one that is being led concurrently by Public Works and Development Services. With that, we're studying parking in downtown and Alamitos Beach. The consultant on board has begun their data collection and nearly completed that. They started community outreach, and we look to have some initial data early next year, or initial results early next year.
Great. Thank you. And I asked for that context because I think it's important to understand that while we are not in a place where we're asking developers to provide parking for other residents, and that this is a challenge location because there's a lot there. And I want to recognize the history of that lot. When the doctor purchased that lot, it previously was not open to the public to rent out those spaces. And it was one of the very first things that he did. And it's been that way for about 2 years. Is that correct? about 4 years. And so we have a community asset that was available to us by a developer that didn't have to do that. What we've learned through the process of this, though, is that that process of getting permits hasn't necessarily been run in the best way. And so as we are looking, I know Councilmember Gonzalez and I are out there every week talking to other locations to try to open up their lots. What we've learned is that there's probably about 20 people that actually use the lot every night. And one of the challenges is the way that we generate those permits. And so I'm working with Public Works to make sure that we try, as we open up lots at Mola, the church right there on 3rd, the Thai food restaurant, and St. Anthony's in the 1st District, that we're trying to partner in a way where the city can say, we want to invest in infrastructure for your lot, and we want to help manage doing a parking permit online like we do for the senior center, so that every month or every quarter people can get a parking permit, which has not been existent in current lots. And so one of the things that we've learned is that we can manage our parking much better, and that's even without getting the results back from the parking study. And so I know that these do not relate directly to this project being approved, but when I look through and see 99% of the letters are about parking, I need you guys to have that context, that we're working really hard to open up those lots, and that building more parking isn't an option until we actually use the space that we have. I also want to highlight that we have the Vision Zero plan, and that this project coming in is going to help us reach that vision a little bit quicker, because we are going to be installing more crosswalks and lighting and safety measures in the area. And so that's something that I want to thank the developers for. They've kind of gone above and beyond the downtown plan in a number of areas outside of issues of height. Let me see before I continue to ramble on. I don't want to take up everybody's time. I just want to give that context. The other question I have, I do want to highlight that the developers have met with me and have agreed that any additional parking that is not required within the downtown plan will be accessible to the community. And so that could be done through a permit process, that could be done through an open process, and that they are looking at the lifts and trying to figure out if they can add those lifts inside the garage. When you guys talk about affordable housing, I think it's also important to mention that Jan and several other developers are coming to the table to talk about where the appropriate affordable housing is and what the right funding is. This was a private project that was not a city project, but I think that they have a good vision about where we can go. So I'm going to leave my comments there. I want to hear from my colleague, and then I will close up at the very end. Okay?
Thank you. Councilwoman Gonzalez.
Yes, I would also like to thank everybody who's been a part of this. I know I had two meetings myself, both with Councilmember Pierce and myself in the 1st District, and then last night with more of my residents. So I appreciate every single one of the residents and everyone who's been involved. I know, unlike maybe other projects, our residents are very well versed. As Bibi mentioned, they come from real estate backgrounds, they come from development backgrounds, so they absolutely have the wherewithal and the knowledge. And so I definitely respect and appreciate that. And I took a lot of notes last night, and as I told them, you know, I dusted off the downtown plan to refresh my memory. And if any council member understands downtown, it's definitely me. I'm the one that lives in downtown. Raised my kids there. I understand the parking impacts firsthand, and I've been here for about 10 years, not just working in the city for almost a decade, but living here. So it's really important for me that all of this was taken into consideration. So with that said, I have a couple questions. In relation to the shade analysis that was brought up, can you give me a little bit more information about the study and what that entails, please?
Yes, Councilwoman Gonzalez. The shadow study, it's included in the plans. It is the starts on page 35 and it goes to page 43. It did find that the project will cast shadow on adjacent uses, particularly the residential use to the east and commercial uses to the north. And that's particularly during afternoon and evening hours. With that understanding, the developers worked on designing the project sort of around those impacts, and that's how they got to push the massing to the Alamitos frontage and push the massing towards the north end of the project and kind of scale it down on the south and east sides, which are adjacent to the residential uses.
Okay, great. And so it looks like around mid-morning, that will be a little bit, at maybe at its height, but then afterwards, it'd be a little bit better. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. And then light-sensitive uses, I understand in the CEQA analysis, it just refers to Long Beach Unified School District. Can you clarify that as well?
Yes. One of the speakers mentioned or just asked the definition of sensitive uses and suggested that a residential use would be a sensitive use. That is a very specifically defined term in the California Environmental Quality Act, or CEQA, they're referred to as a sensitive receptor, and a sensitive receptor is a use where the occupants of that facility over a long term may have particular sensitivities, and typical sensitive receptors are places that have either young children or elderly or infirm individuals. So it would be a hospital is a sensitive receptor, a daycare facility where you have young kids throughout the day, a senior citizen facility is also a sensitive receptor, but generally a commercial use or a standard residential use, they are not considered sensitive receptors.
Okay, and that would be the only that's clearly defined, is that, just so I'm getting that clear?
That is correct. So when we analyze a project per that standard, it would have to be one of those uses. Otherwise, there's no basis to evaluate as a sensitive receptor.
Great, thank you. And in relation to the design, so I'll have to be really honest. When I looked at the design at first, you know, you look at it and you in downtown, we want to see bold, we want to see innovative. And so I, now looking at the presentation and talking to the developers, I do see that innovation and that boldness in that, and it's absolutely subjective. But I can understand where residents feel as though, you know, this looks like other developments. So I have a couple questions relative to that. So 7 stories, 77 units. Were paseos, were they an option at all, and maybe including some sort of walkway to break up the massing at all?
Do you want to talk about that?
I don't think that the proposed project includes paseos. I think we look for paseos, we look for natural breaks in the design of the project to include paseos, but there are some openings in the project, but they're not technically paseos.
Okay.
And those openings, let me just pull up the plan briefly.
Okay. And I guess to help that, I'll just kind of piggyback off of that, is was there another iteration of this design prior to what we're seeing now?
Yes. The very first initial design of this project was not acceptable to staff because it did not have the level of articulation. It did not have the quality of materials that we ultimately arrived at. But when we expressed those concerns to the developer, they were willing to work with us and provide some additional fenestration to the building and to change some of the colors and some of the materials on the building to lighten it up and to make it more compatible with the surrounding development in the area. And ultimately, the site plan review committee determined that the project was compatible and that it did address the design concerns that staff had originally expressed with the initial project architecture.
Okay, so we have changed somewhat from the original, of course, and there is this new iteration now that is in the Planning Commission's eyes and in your eyes acceptable.
That is correct.
Okay, great. And last question is about the raised terrace garden on roof, which I think, is that a requirement?
It's not a requirement per se, but there is a common outdoor open space requirement, and the terrace fulfills part of that open space obligation in terms of square footage.
Okay, great. And that would be considered with the downtown planet, it's called a green roof or an eco roof deck.
That is correct.
Okay, great. So it's not required. And all right, and I asked about that. So, and the angled balcony, I know we've talked about that as well, but I think that's also another option here that I believe wasn't included in the first iteration. Is that correct?
So there was a lot of work done on the facades.
Yeah.
Between iterations, and one of the features that was, I guess, enhanced in this rendition is, I believe, deeper balcony projections and deeper bay window projections.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Those are all my questions. I will say, and I want to thank staff. I also want to thank Eric as well last night for being there to talk about the Alamitos Road Diet. And again, I know that this is similar to Councilmember Pierce. This is never an easy decision for us. We have to really think very hard about what we're doing and the plans, what we're putting in place, because this is plans not just for tomorrow, it's for many years in advance. And a lot of us expect to be here far beyond, you know, a few years, whether you rent or own, doesn't matter. And I will say, although again, it's not relative to the project per se, but you know, both she and I have worked rigorously on parking, absolutely. And yes, they're going to be creating parking lots or parking spaces that are a little over what they need to on site. But just in the adjacent area, I counted between her work and my work alone, almost 500 parking spaces. And I'll go over that. 80 spaces that we'll be working with St. Anthony's on. Over 50 spaces in District 2, which would be the lot which I think is Healthcare Partners. There's going to be another 41 spaces at the Seventh-day Adventist, 70 spaces that I created in the East Village on the western side of the East Village in the First District, and 18 spaces, which is the net result from Alamitos Road Diet. So that leaves us with about 470 spaces. And I'm sorry, there's 250 at MOLA that I know Councilmember Pierce is working on as well. And when I first took office, that's the very first thing I did was a parking study to look at what we can do in the downtown area specifically for parking before any of this development came out. So there's been a lot of work put into that. So I want to assure you that that absolutely is being done. Separate to that, I know a lot of people talked about affordable housing. And as I mentioned last night, the First District is actually home to the most affordable housing in all of the city. We have over 1,700 units, 300 more that are coming on, so over 2,000 units that will be created by the end of the year, actually the end of next year. And so a lot of affordable housing being done and created. So do we need more affordable housing? Absolutely we do, but we absolutely want to see them in various places in the city. So overall, in addition to that, there's about 10 bus transit lines in the area, and over 36,000 square feet of green space added, which is Gumbiner Park, in that area alone. And other areas of downtown increased over 30% in their property values over within the last 6 to 7 years, and that's specific to the Wilmore area. Development happening, lots going on, and yet still seeing property values increase with all of that. So I would just like to end with saying that although this is, of course, a really difficult decision, like I said, for many people, change is never an exciting thing. I will tell you that the city is absolutely moving in a good direction, and I think supporting this project would be a good direction. So thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Pierce?
Yes, thank you. I know I jumped straight into some questions earlier. I did want to highlight two more things before making a motion. I had my staff kind of look at what was required in the downtown plan and what was not required in the downtown plan. And we have 106 parking stalls, 97 was required. We've got 23 bicycle parking spaces, 20 was required. We have over almost 9,000 square feet of common space when only 4,000 was required, as you guys mentioned. There's a community room that's almost 800 square feet and only 500 was required. 1,700 square feet of private open space where 13 was required. I think that one of the conversations that I've had in my neighborhood, particularly with the North Alamitos Neighborhood Association, is the lack of access to community space and community rooms to be available for meeting. I think one of the challenges with this location is also that it is going to be the highest story in the area. And so making accessible the rooftop community space for residents, neighborhood associations, and bids is something that the developers have also, owners have also said that they're open to doing. Again, I'll highlight that this was you know, a process and a project that I think does fit the neighborhood. Looking at the massing of it, when I think about the current being on Ocean and Alamitos and the change up to where Mola is and all the work that's been done, I really do believe that the design of this project fits with that transition. And so I just wanted to make sure I said that. So I would like to ask my colleagues to support us tonight, and I'm going to ask the city attorney. I'd like to make two amendments to the special conditions of approval. In making amendment number or condition of approval 79, that the property owner will make any additional parking spots outside of the downtown plan requirements available to the public by working with the city to manage permits. I would like the second condition of approval to be that the property owner will make the rooftop community room accessible to community neighborhood associations and business improvement districts when available. And these are both agreements that I've already communicated and been working with the project on. And so I want to thank them for agreeing to those. So with that, I ask for my colleagues to support us. Thank you.
Okay, there's a motion and a second to approve the project and deny the appeals. Members, please go ahead and cast your votes.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you very much. We'll go ahead and moving forward. And next, we're gonna be moving up the language access item before recreational pot, just because of the folks that are here. Next up